The Tory presents Pieces of Classical Verse, read to you by Pratham Datta. I wish you merry listening. The Wastelands by T.S. Eliot, written in 1922. Read to you by Pratham Datta. I read this poem to you with a bit of commentary, although in philosophy I'm opposed to commenting on poems because I'd rather leave it to the interpretation of the reader, as I presume the famous T.S. Eliot would have liked to, but I thought it might help because it helped me in the process. The Wasteland begins with a famous quote from Satyricon by Gaius Petronius, a Roman poet sometime around 50, 80 or so. The story that comes with it is as follows. A feast by Trimalchio, a very wealthy person and a bit of an idiot, talks about someone called Sibyl of Cumae, a prophetess who was serving Apollo. She was very beautiful and Apollo found her beauty fetching. He asked her that if she would lie with him, and instead she could desire what she wanted, and she wanted a long life. But she never did lie with Apollo, and Apollo therefore did give her long life, but she just grew frailer and frailer and smaller till she was basically reduced to bones. Yet she was still living. And the line goes as follows. Nam sibilam quidem cumis ego ipse oculis meis vidin ampulla pendere, et cum illi pueri diserent. I saw with my own eyes the Sibyl of Cumae hanging in a cage. Now do realize this is what Trimalchio is telling his guest Asteri while at a banquet. The boys looked at the frail woman in the cage, Sibyl of Cumae, and asked her, Sibylia tititelis, in Greek. And then she answered, et cum illi pueri diserent. So she answers, I want to die, or apotanein tello. So Sibyl of Cumae was given a long life, but not eternal youth. She traded eternal youth for a long life, and as it is allegorically, she grew frailer and frailer till she did not want to be there anymore. All she wanted to do was die, but once all she wanted to do was live. These lines are somewhat referenced in Ovid's Metamorphoses too, but it's interesting that T.S. Eliot left these lines and dedicated them to Ezra Pound. Ezra Pound was his mentor, and therefore he writes Il miglior fabbro, the better craftsman. Part 1, The Burial of the Dead. April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead land, mixing memory and desire, stirring dull roots with spring rain. Winter kept us warm, covering earth in forgetful snow, feeding a little life with dried tubers. Summer surprised us, coming over the Starnberger's Hee with a shower of rain. We stopped in the colonnade and went on in sunlight into the Hofgarten and drank coffee and talked for an hour. Bin gar keine Russin, stamm aus Litauen, echt Deutsch, which basically means I'm not Russian. I come from Lithuania. I'm a real German. That's because at that point of time, Lithuania was a part of Galicia and more of a Prussian state, which was more German than anything else, than a Russian enclave. And when we were children, staying at the Archdukes, my cousin's. He took me out on a sled, and I was frightened. He said, Murray, hold on tight, and down we went, in the mountains there you feel free. I read much of the night, and go south in the winter. What are the roots that clutch? What branches grow out of this stony rubbish? Son of man, you cannot say or guess, for you know only a heap of broken images, where the sun beats and the dead tree gives no shelter, the cricket no relief, and the dry stone no sound of water. Only there is shadow under this red rock. Come in under the shadow of this red rock, and I will show you something different from either your shadow at morning striding behind you, or your shadow at evening rising to meet you. I will show you fear in a handful of dust. In these lines, Eliot refers to the Ecclesiastes and Ezekiel from the Bible, saying that the journey is a long one, an arduous one, but it's a journey back home. Frisch weht der Wind, der Heimat zu, mein Irish Kind, wo weilest du? Eliot uses these lines from Wagner's 1865 opera Tristan and Isolde, sort of retelling the same theme that it's, you know, the journey to home is always something that we long for. You gave me hyacinths first a year ago. They called me the hyacinth girl. Yet, when we came back late from the hyacinth garden, your arms full and your hair wet, I could not speak, and my eyes failed. I was neither living nor dead, and I knew nothing. Looking into the heart of light, the silence, öd und leer das Meer, empty and desolate is the sea. As Eliot uses another line from Wagner's Tristan and Isolde. Madame the Sorceress, famous clairvoyante, had a bad cold, nevertheless is known to be the wisest woman in Europe. With a wicked pack of cards, here, said she, is your card, the drowned Phoenician sailor. Those are pearls that were his eyes, look. Here is Belladonna, the lady of the rocks, the lady of situations. Here is the man with three staves, and here the wheel. And here is the one-eyed merchant, and this card, which is blank, is something he carries on his back, which I am forbidden to say. I do not find the hanged man, fear death by water. I see crowds of people walking round in a ring. Thank you. If you see dear Mrs. Equitone, tell her I bring the horoscope myself. One must be so careful these days. In these lines, Madame the Sorceress is something that Eliot refers to from Aldous Huxley's character in a book called Chrome Yellow, sort of presaging a lot of war and pessimism in the book. Unreal city, under the brown fog for winter dawn, a crowd flowed over London Bridge, so many, I had not thought death had undone so many. Here Eliot cites Baudelaire's Fleur de Mal from a poem called Les Sept Villas, The Seven Old Men, which goes, Fourmillant cité, cité pleine de rêve, où les spectres en pleine jour raccrochent les passants. Sighs, short and infrequent, were exhaled, and each man fixed his eyes before his feet. These lines are from Dante's Inferno. Float up the hill and down King William Street to where Saint Mary Woolnoth kept the hours, with a dead sound on the final stroke of nine. There I saw one I knew and stopped him crying. Stetson, you who were with me in the ships at Mylae, that corpse you planted last year in your garden, has it begun to sprout? Will it bloom this year, or has the sudden frost disturbed its bed? Oh, keep the dog far hence, that's friend to men, or with his nails he'll dig it up again. You, hypocrite lecture, mon semblable, mon frère. In this last line, Eliot references another Baudelaire poem.